The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the shore. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we've worked all night and have caught nothing, but at your command I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come help them. They came and filled both boats, so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they made had seized him and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. When I was a freshman in high school, I joined the track team, and I wasn't quite fast enough to be the sprinter because, you know, the 100 yards, there were three people faster than me. But I wasn't quite good enough at my endurance to be with the marathon runners. So I got sandwiched in between those two, which would be like the 800. And as I would run those races, I also had asthma. So I'd finish the races and I'd just be gasping for breath, and it was just a miserable thing. And after a couple months of doing this, I finally thought, why am I doing this? It's like, I'm really not built for this, you know, and asthma treatment back then was not so good. So I went and talked to the coach and I said, "I'm sorry, coach, but it's like every time I run, it just feels like, you know, I just feel horrible and I've got asthma." And anyway, he goes, "Well, Mike," he goes, "I thought you were a gut kind of runner, you know?" And I said, "Well, sorry, I guess I'm not, you know?" So anyway, that's the first and only thing I think I can remember that I ever quit when it came to sports, you know, because I was typically pretty good at all these different sports. But there is a weird thing in life that we have this impression that we should never quit anything, right? And maybe there's some wisdom to that, because we don't want to be quitters in general. We want to persevere and we want to conquer, and these are all things that we typically like to do. But there are some times in life where maybe we should give up. I can think specifically, for example, if you've got someone who's only 5 foot tall and wants to play in the NBA, maybe it's not a great idea for them to say, "I'm just going to be an NBA player and go at it for the rest of their life." Or people that can't sing and they think, you know, "I'm going to be a star," and they just keep trying and trying and trying, and meanwhile they're scraping by working odd jobs, you know. Or the actors that think that one day they're going to hit it big, and they just never will, because there's just a million people that want to hit it big and only a handful of people that ever will. So in life there are some times when it's not a bad thing to give up, you know, but we should always, as Christians, take that next step and say, is this my will or God's will? Because if it's something that we should give up, that's because it's something that aligns with what God maybe wants for us to do differently. And so in those moments, we can give things up. But there are some times that we shouldn't give up, because it's God's will that we persevere and we keep at it. And in the gospel today, we have an interesting thing, because we have these professional fishermen that at the end of the night, they didn't catch anything. And so all of a sudden, here comes Jesus, the wandering preacher guy, who comes up and says, "Hey, you professional fishermen, cast the net to the other side." And I know what they were thinking. They're like, "Jesus, what do you know? We're professionals. This is what we do for a living. We know where the fish are and where the fish aren't. Like, what do you know?" And nevertheless, though, I do like the fact that Peter did what Jesus asked him to do. So he threw the net over on the other side, and we know the rest of the story. And then they caught this huge boatload of fish, and they had to get other people to help them. But these types of things happen in life because we sometimes will think we know better than God, because after all, we're the experts, right? We're the experts in all things. And it's easy for us to think that, well, what does God know? You know, it's like, I know it's time to quit. So just to give you an example of how that works out, I would say it's probably been about 20 years, maybe a little longer, that my grandparents decided to stop talking to the family. They were mad about something. I can't tell you what they were mad about, but it was something pretty insignificant. But nevertheless, they decided that they were going to stop talking to the family. And for the first week or two, or the first month, we're thinking, oh, they'll get over it. They always get over it. But they didn't get over it. And so it was almost a year now, and my mom just decided, you know what, I'm going to do a novena for this. And I remember thinking at the time, well, go ahead and do that, Mom, but they're stubborn. There's some things that even God can't change, you know, like the stubbornness of my grandparents. And anyway, so she did this novena, and in my mind, I thought, well, good luck. It's not going to work. You know, my grandparents are stubborn. Things won't change. But it was like clockwork. As soon as she finished the novena, boom, my grandparents called. And the way it all happened was just, there's no way that was humanly possible. You know, it was something where God intervened, and he wanted to do this. This was his will. He wants reconciliation. He wants peace within families. And with the prayer, whatever needed to line up for God to do what he wanted to do, he decided to do what he wanted to do. And so I was wrong. I thought that I had it all figured out. And I thought that, well, even God can't do this. But we have to be careful that we don't put limits on what God wants to do, because God's capable of doing what we are not capable of doing, and God is capable of doing what is beyond our ability to understand. And so when Peter was there and Jesus said, throw the net over on the other side, even though in his mind, I figure he probably thought, well, this is not going to work, but God showed him what is possible. So it's a simple lesson today, I think, that first of all, there are some things that we do in life that it's okay to let go of because it's not according to God's will and he really doesn't care. Now, there are other things that are ultimately important, the things of heaven. And so those things we have to persevere at and try to do our best to understand what is God's will. And then if we do that, we just pray and we do what we can, then we leave the rest in God's hands. And if we do that, we will see him do things which we never thought were possible.